dictionary give us preachers fits. Because really, almost the same thing gets continued next week. And I've been given a tough choice here. I can preach the same sermon this week and next week and still be right in the middle of the text. I could stand here all week, and when you come back next Sunday, I'll just about be ready for the second part of it. It's an amazing task here, but I'll do my best. We are given at the very end of chapter 9 and chapter 10, is this lengthy instructions by Jesus to his disciples. And in the very opening sentences, we have Jesus' own formula for how he spread the word and how he taught. And I want to remind you that many scholars today who've been spending time researching that period of history between the crucifixion and the first letters of Paul. And we already know at the crucifixion, the followers of Jesus probably numbered in the thousands. So there were people that heard him and listened and spread the word. And the formula is laid out in the first sentences here. Jesus would go from town to town teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. If that isn't enough to get the attention of the world, it's hard to imagine what else could. Teaching in the synagogues was clearly Jesus chasing his natural market. Wendy, isn't that how we do that in marketing? Go after our natural market. And he says, don't go where the Gentiles are. They're not going to know what you're talking about. Don't go to the Samaritan villages where they hate you. Go in where people are willing to listen. And teaching in the synagogues made a lot of sense. As Jesus himself said, he came to fulfill the law, not overturn the law. He didn't come to destroy the worship in the synagogues. Instead, he came to read the gospel, read the ancient writings and comment on them and teach on them. And he was radically committed to fulfilling the law. And he believed with all his heart and soul and life that the tradition of the scriptures thus written contained a true and valid and key to everlasting life. Love God, love your neighbor, love the law, and use the law in such a way that it brings mercy, healing, health, freedom of mind and heart, and joyous thanksgiving for the riches of creation. Now, clearly, that message did put some people off. But probably more listened, and listened with their hearts and their openness, because the hunger for God is universal. And Jesus tried to meet that hunger with his life, his teaching, and his ministry. The good news of the kingdom is a brilliant and contemporary updating of the law, making it accessible not only for the Jews of Jesus' day, but for the whole world, in a universal declaration that all men discover that the Lord is one Lord, creator of the universe, and lover of souls everywhere. What great news to preach and to spread. And of course, Jesus curing every disease and every sickness raises a whole nother chapter and a whole nother freight car full of explanation, exposition, etc. But I would like to touch just for a moment on this whole notion of curing disease, every sickness. Jesus was a healer. Jesus laid hands on people and they got better or they got well. Lots of people have this gift. Not all of them are Christians. It is a human gift that I have seen work in action, and not only at the hands of Christian people, but others as well. What it takes to cure somebody and what it means to be healed is not only a physical question, but a theological one as well. Certainly, my dear friend Molly, who when she discovered that she had inoperable cancer, responded so beautifully to the laying on of hands, and in that process was healed. Molly died a few weeks after she was diagnosed, but she was healed from the fear of death. She became a minister to everybody in the hospital that came near her. She ministered to her family that couldn't get over the shock. If any of you have had cancer, you know that everybody in the world is afraid of you. And when people come to visit a cancer patient in the hospital, the cancer patient has to calm everybody down. It becomes a ministry that the sick has for the people who are coming supposedly to comfort them. So curing the fear factor is a major piece of healing. And Matthew also tells us in this gospel that Jesus had compassion for those whom we saw and visited. And that's that wonderful Greek word. I remember spelling this out last year for all of you. Compassion is a Latin word. And the Greek word comes from the word splankna, which means, just the sound of it lets you know that it means your guts, your belly, the very center of your heart is where this compassion comes from. And the notes of healing take place when people have this amazing compassion that comes from the very center of their being. So curing every disease and every sickness becomes a ministry. And listen to this. Jesus gives all his disciples the authority to do that very thing. And they go out. And as we see in the book of Acts, Peter and his disciple brothers lay hands on people and heal them. And we are given that commission, and there are many among this parish who are healers, who lay hands on people, and they get better. And their spirits improve, and they become, their morale improves, and often their health improves. This whole message of healing obviously is a major, major piece of ministry and one that we hope that we might continue to expand in the coming years here at St. Francis. Any of you ever gone out and pushed doorbells for somebody or some cause, United Way or something, gone door to door and asked for something? You know what it's like before you get there? You say, I don't want to do this. Why did I put myself into this mess? I can't wait for it to be over. And when you knock on the door, you hope nobody's there so you can leave something on the doorknob and go quick. And my gosh, it's lunchtime. It's 10:30. And we've all been there because we've said yes and sometimes wish we said no. And, of course, this has to do with reaching out and making our outreach count. And we're given a number of hints and clues as to how to make this thing work a little better. You know, I'm very appreciative of the fact that we have in our parish Sarah Briggs, whose father as many of you know, was told by the Bishop of Los Angeles that he was crazy for trying to found a church out in that miserable desert called Encino. And what does he do but knock on doors and invite people to join him in starting a church? And it became St. Nicholas Church. One person with an idea and with a lot of help and with people who suddenly find that they have the authority to do that. You know, sometimes that door knocking business turns out to be a lot of fun, but not before you start. You always worry about it. And I remember helping another St. Nicholas Church in Chicago that was trying to expand its ministry in one of the suburbs. And somebody came out from the diocese to teach people how to go knock on doors. And by the time that person finished, everybody was scared to death and nobody showed up the next morning to do the work. The authority that Jesus passes on is the authority that he himself exhibited. If any of you have ever played on a team, you know that one of the players might be a real inspiration, or the coach might even be a real inspiration to take somebody out and suddenly make them Tiger Woods. You all ought to figure out what Tiger Woods did yesterday. You'll read about it in the paper. Anyway, to be inspired in such a way that no longer are we fearful, to be inspired in such a way that we can realize that within just a couple of miles of this parish are a huge number of people who hunger after God. We know this when we opened our doors this fall to this Advent to our Tisay service. And we saw all kinds of people that we'd never seen before who were curious and wanted to know what we're doing and want to know how this relates and more intimately into their lives. There is a great hunger out there, and we've been given this great commission, just like the disciples have. And as the gospel promises, don't worry about what you're supposed to say. The Spirit will instruct you. And so this is not hard work, nor is it fearful work to spread the word of Jesus. So, as we sum up today, we find our natural market for our teaching. Our natural market is Palos Verdes in South Bay. We proclaim the good news of the kingdom, which is that God loves us. The one true Lord, creator of the universe, will always be with us, never leave us alone, and will always strengthen us in our hours of need. And will he also bring us into wonderful communion with one another, that in this holy fellowship, healing takes place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for that kind of compassion that comes from the belly, that we may find ways to use that as we preach your good news in our lives and in the examples that we have and within our community with all the people with whom we come in contact day after day. May the world discover God through us by the authority given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.